The following program is brought to you in living color.
In tasting wines, there's three things that you watch and enjoy. One is the color of the wine. See how nice the color of this is? And the next thing is the aroma. And you smell the product. Hold it.
Hold it by the stem.
Yeah, the proper way is right here.
It's the Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for the Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
I've never taken orders from anyone. As long as I live, I'll never take orders from anyone. I'm young and strong and nothing can touch me.
Welcome to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay and Scotch guzzling diva this week. And we're welcoming you to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory. Yes, you are listening to a new version of the Wine Crush. Last week, I have to admit, got a little tied up, got a little bit lazy, but I couldn't let you down 2 weeks in a row. So yes, you get to hear my voice and my wonderful diluted thoughts again this week.
Even though we weren't here last week, do I still get paid?
Of course you get paid. Okay. You get paid hazard pay for putting up with me and all the French guys with the berets that keep beating on the window.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Keep
thanks.
That in mind.
All right.
All right. This week we are hip deep in harvest. Yes, we are. It is that magical time where everything that winemakers and wine lovers come together to see the fruit that's on the vine and the great beverage it's going to create. And that, of course, is going to be the theme for today's show. We're going to hit the high notes on harvest with two of my all-time favorite wineries. Now, I realize both these wineries can be a little bit difficult for you to find on the shelves, but we've got Rex Smith, the winemaker from Vine Cliff Winery off the Silverado Trail, and we've got Anthony Biaggi, the winemaker for Plump Jack. And for those of you who have bribed me very well over the last 6 months, you will remember that Plump Jack Reserve Chardonnay is truly my favorite. And for those of you trying to get in good graces, check with Kent during the small little break. He'll give you the address of the studio and feel free just to mail that on in. So both these gentlemen are going to give us an interesting perspective on what's going on with harvest with them so that we truly have an insight to the great mechanization that's going on out in California right now. Of course, as always, I have wine recommendations, even though we're talking about my favorite wineries. I have had to drink a lot for the last 14 days. It hasn't been an option. The good news is most of the stuff I'm drinking, I can't remember by the time I get to the end of the bottle. However, there were two things that stood out dramatically. One, surprisingly enough, was an inexpensive white, Folie à Deux Ménage à Trois white. Now, actually, when I was back in the business, there was an account that refused to sell this wine because of the name. He felt like his patrons would feel he was offending them and offering up something that was sexually explicit.
I have to admit, it's not making me think of wine.
Yes, I know. But see, okay. You have enough wine, perhaps it will lead to it. Anyway, okay. Despite that, Ménage à Trois is a blend of three grapes. It is a nice, light white that this time of year is something that's refreshing. It's good. No matter how tired you are, it can invigorate you. It is Chardonnay, Muscat, Chenin Blanc. They harvest each of them separately. They then vent everything separately, and then they blend it together every year to try and get a house style. This is a great white wine for non-white wine drinkers because it kind of hits home every flavor profile, every little dance on your tongue you'd want to have. This wine has it. So definitely it is Mega Mart bound, Folie à Deux Ménage à Trois white. Definitely go look for that. Now, for those of you who are looking for a little bit something more austere, a little bit more prone for the grill, for tailgating, for the cooler weather we're seeing, Ridge does an East Bench Zinfandel. 2007 has just come out, and it is outstanding. It has the great balance of spice. It has berries. It has a really intense blackberry flavor. And, of course, it's got a great sweetness to it. For those of you who like California Zinfandel, you know that you get a little bit of sweetness on it. Not sweetness like white Zin, but sweet from that great American oak. So this is a wine that will stand up to anything coming off the Barbie, and it's something that will really tone down your evenings and make them special. And for those of you people who still smoke cigars, not that I could possibly tell you that a great glass of the Zinfandel and a couple of Cohibos is a great match, but after what I've been through, yes, it's a great match. So those are your wine recommendations for this week. I certainly suggest you go out and try them. It's always fun to talk about harvest because a lot of people forget that there is a business behind the business. For those of you who are just moderate wine drinkers. You go, you look at the shelves, you see, I don't know, 500 feet of wine in your grocery store, and you think, oh, I like that label, or oh, I've heard that name, or I like this rating, and that's how you buy your wine. You do not realize what goes into the backside of getting these wines out of the field, into the bottle, and into the stores. That is definitely the story for the week, is how we put it all together from harvest and putting it into the bottle and getting it into your hands. To give you a mild harvest report right now, understand that as we go into October, we're running harvest a little bit late. Right now, the whites are pretty much in. Chardonnay is in, Sauvignon Blanc is in. For those of you who like Sauvignon Blanc, they are saying that the 2009 growing season is going to produce probably the finest Sauvignon Blancs that California has seen in the last 13 or 14 years. I personally am very, very excited about that. It's been a long time since we had a really great, outstanding Sauvignon Blanc vintage, and I think it's due, and from everything I'm reading, tasting, and seeing, we're up for it. Chardonnay, of course, is going to be in the hands of the winemakers. Obviously, everyone's consistent. We were fortunate. We didn't have any rain until this last weekend. So everyone is on a level playing field with that. It'll just vary from region to region. And, of course, we all know that Chardonnay is the master manipulator, and we'll see what the winemakers do with that. What is really cool, though, is the reds are going to probably start coming in the next 5 or 6 days. Sure, there's some people that have already picked some of their Zin, picked some of their Pinot, picked some of their Cabernet, but most of it is still out there on the vine. So keep your eye on the weather report in California right now, because it's going to make a big difference. We're in crunch time, people. 6 days are going to make or break what's coming out of California for 2009. Granted, we're not going to taste these wines for probably 3 years, but I'm hoping the weather holds out. I'm hoping that there is no rain, that there is no frost, and that we get a picture-perfect crop. Now, strange that I would be hoping for a picture-perfect crop, because for the last 3 years, we have had a very large harvest coming out of California. We have had a lot of wines. We've had a lot of excess wines, which means two things. One, there is a lot of drivel on the market. I'm not necessarily picking out critter wines, but whether it's a two-buck chuck, whether it's a cute little thing with a koala on the front, there's been a lot of extra juice floating around, and I think that has diluted some of the really good wines out there. But also, we have seen some great new wineries come out of this whole extra harvest, and I think this is going to be the time for them to shine. It looks like they're going to have one more year to put these labels behind them. So ultimately, what it leads to is, as consumers, if the harvest continues on like it is, we are once again going to be awash in a sea of juice. That means whether it's listening to The Wine Crush or reading your special favorite wine magazine, you're going to have to turn to us for guidance, because bottle upon bottle is going to be out there and you're going to need someone to hold your hand through it. All right, we're going to take a break while I find a way to hold your hand and come up with brilliant ideas, but more of The Crush in a minute.
We've got more Wine Crush coming up in a moment.
He took me to the Spotted Club at Hollywood and Vine. We drank champagne.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactiv works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactive Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactive's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUsKids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor. Or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, and I was feeling near as faded as my jeans.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and as you know, the theme of The Wine Crush is always to be answering strange wine questions that you never thought to ask. And since we all know the premise of harvest and we have talked about it, one of my favorite questions to ask during harvest as I'm looking at all the beautiful vineyards and looking up on the hillsides is thinking, how the hell do they get that fruit? Well, today we have some help to help us figure the answer to that question out. It is from one of my favorite wineries in California. That would be Vinecliff. And today we are joined by Rex Smith, the winemaker. Rex, thank you for taking time out of what has to be a very, very busy schedule.
No problem at all.
It is a delight to have you on the show. For our listeners, I had the pleasure of going to Vinecliff, I believe back in June. And it is one of the most prestigious, great, nice, friendliest places to go. I advise all of our listeners to call ahead and definitely try and get in. But Rex, tell us, besides my personal opinion, what makes Vinecliff so special?
Well, we're a very small family-owned business. We only make about 8,000 cases a year. And all our grapes are just from small vineyard blocks are kept separately. We just make a small amount of very high-quality wine. So we do a lot of attention to detail and do things that the bigger wineries can't really do.
Give us an example. I, of course, know when you talk about small vineyard blocks, how difficult it can be to pick the grapes, to harvest them, to put them separately, to vent them separately. But give us an idea of what things you do differently.
Well, one thing we do is a thing we call forking. So when we think we have the right flavors to start picking the grapes, the day before we harvest, we have our vineyard crew go out into the vineyard rows, and they look at the clusters of grapes, and they actually use a fork to fork out any berries that are damaged or raisined or maybe have a bird peck mark on them, and they actually drop it on the ground. And so before we even bring the grapes in, we drop all the fruit, we fork it onto the ground, and then the next day we go out there early in the morning and start harvesting.
So you're picking only the perfect grapes then?
Exactly, and we pick into small 30-pound plastic boxes and start picking early in the morning when it's still dark with lights, and bring them to the winery, and then we hand sort and put them over a destemmer and sorting table. So after we destem the grapes, we actually pick out individual berries that don't look right, and pieces of stem that we call stem jack. So we just kind of go to the nth degree to make sure that what ends up in a bottle of wine starts with the best fruit condition.
To try and give our listeners a visual on this, when you talk about only having the 30-pound plastic boxes out there, that is 5 bags of sugar. And you don't fill it to the top. So next time you go to the grocery store, pick up a bag of sugar. Just imagine that and 4 of its brothers are all the grapes you're picking at one time. Also, when you're thinking of hand sorting, imagine your kitchen table covered with nothing but clusters of grapes and having to go through and say, I like that one, I like that one, I like that one, I don't like that one. Is that pretty much dead on, Rex?
Exactly. It's all mechanized. So we hand dump the grapes onto shaker tables and sorting belts, and I'll have between 15 and 20 people at a time. For example, yesterday we were processing Cabernet, and that's exactly what we were doing. We were just had this assembly line, and the grapes would be dumped on one end of the line, and then at the end they were getting pushed into the tank. So it's very tedious and time consuming, but it's well worth the quality that you end up with it, and when you're said and done.
It is very tedious, and I will say this, it is not a job for obsessive compulsive people. Obsessive compulsive people can't move fast enough. I learned this doing harvest a number of years ago. I got thrown off the sorting table because I was being just entirely too indiscriminate. Well, I think it's a forking lovely idea, Rex, but I do have a question for you.
Yep.
I have been to Vine Cliff. I have stood there in your driveway and looked up at some of your vineyards. And I have got to admit, I couldn't even walk up those hills, much less consider trying to carry a 30-pound bucket and pick a grape. How do y'all do that? How do you manage this?
Well, we have tractors. Most of the grapes are grown on terraces. And so the terraces go horizontally, and we can actually fit a small tractor down the rows. And so once we've picked the grapes, we leave them in the boxes on the ground, and then guys will stack them onto a trailer, onto a tractor. So we don't actually have to carry them all the way back to the winery. We use tractors to help us with that.
Oh, good Lord, I'd hate to be one of those people driving those tractors. My luck, I'd roll down the hill about 18 times, and that would be all said and done. All right, as you're coming into harvest, what is the next phase for you? What is the one that has you most concerned as we roll into 09?
The most concern?
Yes. I mean, they talked about y'all had some rain on Sunday.
Yeah,
what is your biggest fear factor?
Well, early on it was we had a little rain, and we had a bit of botrytis in the Chardonnay. And so what we did with the Chardonnay is the same with the reds. We went out there and we forked the little botrytis we did have onto the ground. Fortunately, we had some really warm weather the last couple of weeks, and so it kind of dried out. So we put those berries on the ground, and the warm weather enabled us to pick all our Chardonnay the last 2 weeks. We actually started 2 weeks ago today, and yesterday we put the last of our Chardonnay juice into barrels for fermentation. So having said that, we just started Cabernet yesterday, and our big concern now is heat spikes and heat waves. And so we use this machine called a pressure bomb, so we measure the leaf water potential to tell exactly when the grape needs water. And so that way we can make sure we can anticipate the heat spells and give the plant what it needs to fully ripen the grape berries.
That's amazing. That as long as I've been in the business, I've never heard that term, a pressure bomb. So see, you have taught me something today. All right, Vinecliff, obviously you're known for your Cabernets. What do you feel 09 vintage looks like? What is your gut feeling right now?
Well, so far this year we had a really early bud burst, and we had plenty of water and vigor early on, and so the grapevines have a lot of canopy to ripen the fruit, and it seems like we've got really good flavor maturity without a lot of sugar at this point. And so the first Cabernet that we put yesterday has a nice degree of sugar. I think it was about 25.8% sugar or degrees Brix. And they seem to have good acidity as well. So I think it looks like it's going to be a vintage where we have some pretty nice balanced wines without too much alcohol, and the tannins seem soft and supple, and we've had enough hang time to allow the seeds and the grape skins to tannins to kind of soften before we pick.
Now, question for you. When will our listeners be able to take their first sip of 2009? When will you release this Chardonnay, roughly?
It'll be released in about a year from now.
All right. So, what about the Cabernet?
It'll be about 2.5-3 years. So they need to wait on that.
I've got to ask you. I'm not trying to get off Vinecliff. Does that not make you a nervous wreck to know that everything you're doing right now, you won't be able to see if you got it right until 3 years from now?
A little bit, but I've worked, actually this is my 28th vintage, and so the ninth at Vinecliff, and so I've been around the block a few times, so I feel pretty comfortable. There's always something that comes up. It's kind of like baseball. There's always a curveball being thrown at you. But, you know, with the experience, and we've got a great team here, my partner in crime, Rob Sweeney, he helps me out a lot. And so, you know, it's a team effort. One person can't do it all. And so we've got a great team of skilled people to execute.
Well, I have to say that you must have an exceptional team, and your wines are without a doubt some of the best Cabernets I have tasted out of the Valley. And you don't know how much it means to me. You took time today to call and talk to the Wine Crush. I know you're probably staring at your window looking at your Cabernet right now, so I guess I better let you get back to it. But Rex, thank you very much for being part of the Crush. Can our Crush listeners can go to your website, vinecliff.com?
Absolutely.
Well, we encourage our listeners to do that. And Max, thank you very much for sharing your day with the Crush.
You're very welcome.
All right, we're going to take a small break right here, but when we return, we're going to answer some of your questions about harvest.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? You're not alone. Increasing prices and the costs of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts in collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes, between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air, would you make make the right choice. But there be a right choice. Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and you are listening to the show that's all about all the wild and wonderful things about wine you never have known or would want to know. Today we are talking a little bit about harvest, but I've got to go off track and just comment on this story. I have talked to you many, many times about the life-saving properties of wine, particularly red wine, but I have never quite seen a story like this one when it comes to saving someone's life. Yes, truthfully, exploding wine puts out fire in Lancashire flat. A Lancashire man has told how 3 bottles of wine stopped his flat from being devastated by fire. When a fire broke out in Chris Barnes' utility room while he was out, the heat caused 3 wine corks to explode. But the bottles, an Italian, a Shiraz, and a Merlot, remained intact, and the contents drenched the fire and, to the amazement of firefighters, had put it out. Firefighters had discovered that a light bulb beneath the cupboard, which Mr. Barnes had switched on for 15 minutes, must have heated a newspaper on top of a cardboard box filled with 15 bottles of red wine. Fortunately, the retired care home manager said, because the wine had blown, it had extinguished the fire. Otherwise, he could have opened the door and the flames would have been billowing out and killed him. So there we go, people. There is another life-saving possibility of wine. When your house is on fire, it can step up and put the fire out. So I have to admit that falls under the weird and wonderful thing. Hopefully that will encourage all of you to drink more, at least think about it. Well, I've got to get focused back on harvest, and I do have a couple emails from you. And I encourage those of you out there who haven't been brave enough, do ask your wine questions. You can now send them directly to me at Laura Lawson, LauraLawson, at winecrush.com. Or for those of you feeling even braver and want to reach out and touch somebody, you can do that at 877-4-CRUSH-1 and just drop your question on the wine line. Right now, Lane in Altoona, Georgia, wrote about harvest. Why are grapes not harvested all at once? Well, it does seem like it would make it easier, Lane, if all of us went out and just decided to pick everything at one time. But whether it's like tomatoes or corns or potatoes or, I don't know, give me another vegetable, they're not my strong point. They do
broccoli.
Broccoli. Does broccoli ripen?
No.
I didn't think so.
No.
Anyway, a pertinent fruit has to ripen before it can be picked. Boy, I bet you can't say that five times. Past that, grapes ripen at different rates of speed. Chardonnay tends to ripen quicker. Sauvignon Blanc tends to ripen quicker. Something like Pinot tends to be a little bit finicky, kind of like Kent in our booth. And when you're finicky, you don't really know if you're ripened or not. So you can't just go out and send a whole bunch of people to pick Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, Cabernet at one time. Plus, from your truly boutique wineries, they simply could not handle all the fruit coming in at once. If they had all their Chardonnay, all their Cabernet, everything coming in, at some point they'd look around and run out of tanks, barrels, gallons, eggs, you name it, to put the wine in. So, of course, there has to be a very concise schedule to this. Now, every winemaker who is listening to the show, and I said very concise wine schedule, they are laughing hysterically at the moment because it can literally change from instant to instant on when you want to pick something. Like we heard earlier in the show when Rex was talking about going out and forking his vineyards, which berries are ready, which are not, it certainly can change. A rainstorm coming in at 1 o'clock in the morning can certainly make you want to move up your harvest as quickly as possible. Or if you're sitting there and you had planned to pick your Cabernet on Thursday and all of a sudden the weather report says it's going to hit 101 degrees on Tuesday, all of a sudden you are scrambling to try and pick. So ultimately, Lane, when they harvest the grapes is up to Mother Nature herself. She is the only mastermind that can know exactly what is going to happen when. Just remember, man plans, God laughs. All right, Lane, hopes that helps. We also have another email from Dina in Carolina. I wonder if Carolina is just the state or the town. All right, Dina. I heard a guest on your show talk about hoping for no rain. Why does rain affect harvest badly? I thought that plants needed water to grow. Well, Dina, we need to get you to go through some back shows because I'm going to make this as concise as possible. Ultimately, yes, plants do need water to grow. But the whole point when you start looking at really, really strong reds, great Cabernets, is they talk about a balanced vine. They talk about a struggling vine. And if you have a struggling vine and it has to fight every inch, tooth and nail, to get its elements, to get its proteins, to get everything it needs nutrition-wise, then it's going to have a more concentrated flavor. It's going to have a more intense structure as far as whether it's going to taste like blackberries or the nature or the terroir around it. And what happens is if you get a lot of rain, say it deluges, say things come out when it's not supposed to, such as water, thunderstorms, bugs, then all of a sudden the wine can get totally watered down. Literally, like we talk about watering down, oh, I don't know, someone's vodka or watering down someone's wine. If you pour water into something, ergo like a rain shower would do to a vineyard, then all of a sudden the concentration is lost in those grapes. And what happens is you tend to get wine that's watery. You tend to get less concentrated flavors. And once you have those big old fat grapes, there's nothing you can do. Of course, you can just hope that after the rainstorms, you get heat and everything dries up and wind comes through. But unfortunately, that doesn't happen. Another problem, if you have rain coming in, once again, I think Rex Smith mentioned this as well, is there's a lot of little bugs, bacteria, molds, and such that just love a warm, wet environment. And that's not necessarily good for your grapes because you can get botrytis, you can get rot. So ultimately, water, yes, for plants. Water for grapes about to be harvested? No. Very, very, very bad thing. So, Dina, I hope that helps. Yes, you can always hope for a drought, but I don't think that's exactly what the people in California had in mind. Well, we encourage all of you, reach out to us with your questions. I'm sure after the show you'll have more harvest. You can do that once again at Laura Lawson at winecrush.com or call us at 877-4-CRUSH-1. All right, we have Anthony Biaggi coming up in the next segment. He is the winemaker for Plump Jack, and he's going to let us know about that amazing Chardonnay and exactly how they've made it for 2009.
Laura Lawson's got more Wine Crush in just a moment.
She had kisses sweeter than wine. Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro-lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean...
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. ZMAX. Performance you can feel.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious.
And so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes.
And soon you realize how impactful your kids involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and I am particularly excited about this segment as we talk about harvest, because we have roped Anthony Biaggi in, the winemaker for Plump Jack. And once again, I'll remind all of our listeners, for those of you who really want to get my good graces, send me a bottle of Plump Jack Reserve Chardonnay. On that note, Tony, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I appreciate you taking time out. I know that your schedule right now has got to be absolutely insane, so it means the world to me that you'll step up and be on the show.
Well, thank you very much. You know, we have another winery called Cade Winery up on Howl Mountain, so I'm in the process of going up to Howl Mountain right now in Napa Valley. So,
oh, it's always fun driving up and down the Silverado Trail. Up, down, up, down, up, down.
Yeah, you go through a lot of breaks, I'll tell you that much.
Makes sense. Well, what exactly are you picking right now? What are you in the middle of, Tony?
Well, right now we have some Howl Mountain Cabernet Sauvignon coming in up at Cade, and then tomorrow we'll start, you know, you just said Plump Jack Chardonnay Reserve. We'll be starting the Chardonnay harvest tomorrow, Plump Jack. So, busy man going both places.
I definitely tip my hat to you. Your Chardonnay, hands down, you are a genius. I absolutely love that wine.
Well, it starts in the vineyard. We have a wonderful vineyard in St. Helena that we use. Then we blend a little bit of Carneros Chardonnay in. But, you know, really it's the style. You know, no malolactic, very little wood, mostly stainless steel. We kiss it with oak, we like to say. So it's mostly stainless steel, and it's very crisp, very refreshing. People love it.
I can definitely see why. Well, question for you, something we've been talking about. We had some other people on the show. Most people have already picked their Chardonnay. Why have you not yet?
It's an older vineyard. It's got a little bit of virus in it. You know, it's a smaller crop, so very small, intense flavors, and we're just waiting for the flavors to ripen in there. So it's always a late vineyard. It's been late as long as I've been at the winery. So just sort of sit tight and let the flavors develop.
I have to ask, you hear about different reports coming out of California that it rained a little bit on Sunday night, that the heat was supposed to climb this week. How are your nerves right now?
You know, it's a busy time of year for all of us. We get used to it after a while. But, yeah, you're still on edge. You're worried about the heat. Is it too hot? Is it not hot? We complain about everything that's winemakers. Trust me. It's either too hot or it's too cold. It's too wet or it's too dry. It's never a dull moment.
I have known a lot of you for many of years, and, yes, y'all are some of the pickiest damn people I've ever encountered.
We are. We have a high opinion of ourselves.
Hey, when you make wines like you do, you can have the high opinion you want all day long, darling.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Tell our listeners a little bit about Plump Jack. I can rave on and on, but it helps to come from the horse's mouth.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we're located in Oakville, California, the heart of Napa Valley. It's called the Tenderloin of Napa Valley because we're there. Harlan Estate is there, Mondavi Reserve, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, we're just a little mom-and-pop shop. We're family-owned. And, you know, our tasting room's open 10 to 4. We're primarily known for our Cabernet Sauvignon from Oakville. So an estate winery with 40 acres around us. That's the wine we know for, but we sort of have a cult following for our Chardonnay, our Syrah, and our other wines. So Cabernet is what we do, but other people seem like you love our Chardonnay, and people love our Syrah as well, so you never know.
Well, Tony, I am the Chardonnay diva, so I do like your reds. I really do. I think they're great, but, of course, you can only be a diva with one thing.
Exactly. You always love one thing. So, and then we started Cade Winery up on Howell Mountain about 3 years ago now, going on 3 years, actually 4 years, I take that back. We found a beautiful piece of property, again, with the estate model that Plump Jack is. It's 40 acres, 20 of which are vined. The other 20 are open space in our new winery, which is LEED certified gold. So we basically built an organic building up on Howell Mountain, farming our vineyards organically. So we're sort of going that way as well up on Howell Mountain.
How do you build an organic building?
Well, LEED certification is called the LEED Leadership in Environmental Energy and Environmental Design, I think. It's off the top of my head, I think that's what it is. And we have a LEED Gold. So you can have a LEED Platinum, a LEED Gold, a LEED, and a LEED certified building. And so we're the second highest you can be. Basically, it's all recycled materials, bamboo for flooring and stuff like that, cabinets for bamboo. Our winery has no wood in it. It's all steel, recycled steel, and concrete. So that's how you build, and it's sort of the future, is this LEED certification process for building of buildings.
That sounds very cool. We're going to have to get our hands on someone who can tell us more about that. But right
Absolutely.
Now, what is your gut feeling? How is the 2009 harvest going?
I'm really excited about the flavor so far. I mean, we say that every year, but really, it's a great vintage. I mean, Cabernet starting right in September. We can get some hang time into October. And once you can, you know, get to certain sugar levels and, you know, they can maintain there, and you start developing a lot of flavors on the vine. So I'm really excited about the vintage. Everything tastes really, really good right now. Lots of density and a juice, lots of flavor, lots of richness. So I'm excited, but I'm excited every year. So every year is a vintage year to me.
It's your job. You're supposed to be excited
Absolutely.
About it.
Absolutely.
Is it going to be a big harvest or a small harvest?
Sauvignon Blanc was a little heavy, but a little over average, and the Cabernet looks to be a bit light. So as of right now, I think it's average. It's an average size year, so there's nothing too big or too small about it.
I like the way you think. Average is a good starting point.
Well, average is great, and then, you know, the weather is what dictates the vintage. Whether it's a big crop and it's great weather, or it's a small crop and it's cool weather, you know, the weather dictates everything. I mean, right now, it's been a wonderful, wonderful fall.
Do you think there's a vintage, as many years as you've been making wine, do you think there's a vintage you could compare this to? Does this remind you of anything? Do you get deja vu off the concept?
A little of 07, a little. It's not as early as 07. It's about a week later, but I think the flavor's coming on along. Actually, you know what this reminds me of, but to be honest with you, is even more than 07, 2001, because we started our Cabernet harvest right around the same time in 2001.
Okay.
So I would say 2001 is a lot like this, very dense, rich wines. From what I'm looking at our chemical analysis that we're getting back from the labs, very similar. So I'm thinking 2001, it's not a bad vintage to be compared to.
I was about to say, I'll take that all day long.
Absolutely. No, I'm happy about that.
All right, so for all the harvests, with the Chardonnay coming in, the Syrah, the Sauvignon Blanc, when are we going to see the 2009 Chardonnay?
2009 Chardonnay will actually be coming out. We get to market very quickly with our Chardonnay, so you'll see that next fall.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I have to stay with bated breath because the kind people don't exactly keep me in as much Chardonnay as I'd like, so I know that I can drink my fill until at least next September.
Understandable, understandable.
Well, Tony, thank you for taking time out. I know it's a very busy time, and I appreciate you thinking of the crush and making sure that you included us as part of your day.
Well, thank you very much. I hope to see you at Plumtrack Arcade sometime.
You can count on it. Actually, you'll regret those words at some point. Bless your heart.
I don't think so. Have a great day.
You too, Tony.
Bye-bye.
All right, straight from the horse's mouth, there's your harvest report coming out of Howell Mountain, and I don't think you could ask for anything more exciting than that. If we see this truly compared to 2001 vintage, I think we're going to be very happy in about 3 years from now. We've got to take a small beat right here, but when we get back, we will tie this all together and make sure that you have had a special harvest from the show.
I'll have a
white wine spritzer.
And you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. Hi.
Hi.
You look good.
You look good yourself. I thought you were never going to call me.
You did?
But I really wanted you to, and I thought you were never going to.
Do you have kids?
No.
You want mine?
The Wine Crush.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood. Hi-ya! Concrete. Hi-ya! Brick walls. Hi-ya! Trees. Hi-ya! Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and I hope that you have enjoyed The Wine Crush's harvest report as much as I have. But it's time to reflect for those of us in the wine business and for those of us who are in hectic businesses. You possibly can't relate to what our winemaking friends are going through. I know there's a lot of people out there who think they're truly winemakers who put everything together and all they do is sit in a lab. But I'm fortunate enough that I have known a lot of these favorite, wonderful winemakers over the years, and I made an effort before this show to call some of them and ask them what their number one criteria was to be a winemaker. So as I run through these to round out the show, please keep in mind that these are the things you have to have to be outstanding. Number one, you have to have nerves of steel. You have to actually know when to make the play, when to make the hay, and when to sit back and watch. Number two, you have to have a great crew. You have to have people around you that you trust, that you support, that you respect, and it goes always with that. Number three, you have to have no-dos or some derivative thereof. Number four, you have to have an even-tempered version of Mother Nature. The exact quote was, Mother Nature can't be PMSing. Number five, once again, it went back to a great crew. The people around you have to be supportive and helpful. Number six, it takes plenty of beer to make good wine. Number seven, you have to have experience thinking on your feet. You have to expect the unexpected and know what to do with it. The new winemakers who don't know how to deal with a stuck fermentation or a broken down thatcher or a broken down destemmer are the ones that are going to let their fruit rot on the vine. Number eight, no preconceived notions. It is what it is, and you can't force what is not there. Number nine, helpers, a whole lot of helpers, any kind of helpers, particularly helpers to go get beer. And number 10, great drugs. So it's always interesting to see different people's perspective. These came from the horse's mouth on what it takes to make wine, but having stood in their shoes and stood in their vineyards and stood in the houses while these are coming together, please understand that while we had the luxury of sitting back, putting our feet on a chair, taking a big sip of their production, of their wine, and saying, oh, I like it, oh, I don't, it is literally somebody's blood, sweat, and tears that went into getting that bottle to you. So next time you're taking a moment to sit back, enjoy your favorite Chardonnay, I encourage you, go on your favorite Chardonnay's website, pull up, whether it's Plump Jack, whether it's Vinecliff, whether it's Sobraja Family, and read the story behind the winery. Because once you get a feel for the winemaker and once you get a feel for the story, it can help you truly appreciate that wine a little bit more when you understand there are real people putting that grape into your hands. So as always here at the Wine Crush, we encourage you, branch out, try different things. But as you've heard today, we have advocated the family winery. They're the ones that are doing things hands-on. They're the ones doing things small production. Because ultimately, when you see a family name on a bottle, whether it's something like Sobraja Family, whether it's something like Plump Jack, whether it's Minor, they know that you are going to judge them by every sip you take. So here at The Crush, we're out of time, but we have to remind you, number one, sip socially. Number two, drink responsibly. Number three, drink what you like, not what you're told. But most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. And as Harvest 2009 rolls to a close, we'll certainly see what the truth of the year was. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.